and welcome. Thanks for joining me for another episode of The Courageous Mama. I'm excited about today's episode. It's about taking the volume and stress out of parenting and raising confident kids. When I was at school, I had a really unusual teacher. He had a wild mop of curly hair and he was a nuclear physicist. But he'd come to work at our school for a day because he just got a bit burnt out, and then he stayed forever. One of my first lessons with him was when he came galloping into the classroom, running up to the board, slowed down with a screeching halt, and drew the tiniest little microdot on the blackboard. Turned around to us dramatically and said, "Meet the molecule." And thus most of his lessons started, with something that just made you want to know more. But I want to tell you about something that he did with our class that year. He hired the town hall and he got us as the children to plan a dinner dance. I know that's very 70s, but this was the 70s. Our parents all came and it was a raging success. But the children had done all of the cooking and all of the preparing and all of the music and all of the decoration. We were 9 years old. I don't mean one of those events where the parents do it and the children help. He was the only grown-up present for the whole process, and we loved it and we pulled it off, and he had trusted us with the process. Yet he was one of those teachers that you never messed around. You absolutely knew his boundaries were his boundaries. Woe betide anybody who was caught licking their fingers whilst they were cooking. I'm not sure he would have met all of the Ofsted requirements that we have today, but I learned more in that year, and it was a more memorable year for me in school than any other year. He trusted us beyond our years, but he engaged us and involved us in the process. He gave us lots of choices within some very firm boundaries. We respected him, but we had freedom within there. It was a significant year for me in many ways, partly because he was the first person who encouraged me in my writing. So he's significant on my timeline. But also there are quite a number of us that are still in contact with him. And a few years ago, my massive family hired the town hall and we all got together. I've got about 22 cousins and lots of aunts and uncles. And we invited him to come along because he'd taught a number of us and we remembered him fondly. But this story is to illustrate that if you give children choices within boundaries, you develop them, you grow them. That year we did basket weaving, and he taught us how to do enamel jewellery and use a kiln. He trusted us and we rose. He believed in us. So this week, I want to look at how we can pull out the margins within firm boundaries and help our children to rise in their responsibilities. A few months after finishing a parenting course and just before lockdown, I was really encouraged to meet up with a mum who had done the course. I wanted to go back and see what she'd put in place and how that was going for her. We'll meet her at the end of this podcast. But I was particularly interested to meet her because I know that she'd had reservations about this particular aspect of parenting. And she admitted that when we met up. She said she'd thought to herself,
"Is this going to work? Is this worth it?"
Yeah.
And her conclusion is,
it seems to have given him another level of confidence.
So we're going to look at how to reduce the power struggles in family life. Power struggles are just a bid for freedom. Some of that toddler or tween or teen muscle flexing will be because they need to feel more in charge. They think they're older than they really are, don't they? Do you remember that Cat Stevens song? I'd sing it for you, but I don't think you'd appreciate it. But it goes like this. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. That can be the world of a child. There are so many little things to be chosen in a day that as a parent, it's easier to ask children to do something than to constantly be giving them choices. Brush your teeth, pop your shoes on, settle down, wait, grab your lunch, put your things away, clear your room. Hurry up. And then when they're older, speak nicely. Have you cleared your room? Have you done your homework? Be kind to your brother. Be kind to your sister. Please, can you get to bed on time tonight? Please, can you get home on time tonight? Get up on time. Put your phone down. If you're on the receiving end of all of that, the list can feel endless. But if half of those commands were a choice instead of a request, it would have a 50% impact on their experience of their responsibilities in any one day. It's not that requests in and of themselves are unkind. They're just words of expectation, usually from a parent. And expectations can feel commanding when they're not a choice, especially if there are lots of them in a day. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have boundaries and expectations, of course not. Freedom isn't about permissive parenting or lack of structure. There are times when children need specific instruction, and we shouldn't be afraid of using appropriate authority to steer and guide them. What I'm talking about here is just a little bit of wiggle room within the boundaries. That way, our children focus on their options rather than their limitations. They feel more free. When they're small, that could simply mean altering the request from "pop your shoes on, we're leaving soon" to "what would you like to put on today, your wellies or your shoes, because we're leaving soon?" A very small change, a very different question. Or to a 10-year-old, you might be changing "could you put this pile of clothes in your room, please?" to "would you like to pop these clothes in your room now or after breakfast?" To a teenager, it might be changing from "please could you take the bin out" to "what time could you take the bin out for me?" Does that feel trivial? I get that. And I know that some parents would say that their day is quite full enough without changing half of their instructions to questions. But the parents who have tried it have seen such a change, they wouldn't go back. The little requests that we put to our children all day, every day, fill their day. They contribute to the sea of words that our child grows up in. And what that sea feels like has a huge impact on their developing identity. They can experience an atmosphere of freedom, within boundaries, of course, or an atmosphere of instruction within those same boundaries. And that can feel constricting, which contributes to their growing desire to break free. And that's where we see the strops and the tantrums. But I know of many parents, including ourselves, who haven't had the teenage strops and pushback that is so often reported to be a complete given in the teenage years, like it's a rite of passage. Choices offer personal responsibility when they're younger, so they don't grow up feeling constricted. There's much less to rebel against if you've been given lots of freedom or wiggle room within the boundaries. But I do get that it's more time consuming. And as you know, the heart of this podcast is connection. And connection will always be more time consuming, at first, as you sow, not when you reap. In fact, it will save you time when you've bedded in a family culture. It'll make your path smoother. It's well worth the investment. Another thing we're led to believe is a rite of passage is toddler tantrums. And that can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Again, I know of many families that I've worked with who've not experienced the toddler tantrums after shifting across to choices. And as I say, it is more time consuming, but eliminating toddler tantrums, that's got to be worth it. And if you're way past toddlers, it's never too late to put choices in. It bears great fruit, less pushback, more empowered kids. Freedom empowers. It implies trust. It says, "I'm not trying to control you." It builds confidence, character, responsibility. It's rooted in connection. And it's not that parents don't give any choices, of course, but if you're experiencing any resistance, any pushback, any angst, I guarantee that by the end of this podcast, you'll have found some extra spaces where you can give them responsibility that will calm them down and help them feel more in control without giving up your agenda. Every sentence we say to our children conveys a message, even if it's said lovingly and kindly. What message do you want to convey to your child? I know I want my messages to say, "I trust you. I think you can make a good decision. I think you can make a choice without me. I think you've got this. I believe in you." Our children will be more influenced by us in the long run if we've taken the time to trust them with choices. Think about the people in your life who've influenced you. Are they the people who have believed in you and trusted you, like my old school teacher? Or are they people who've just told you what to do? Last week on Instagram, I posted about the proverbial bridge on my 5-Minute Fridays slot. It was about each relationship that we have with each of our children being like a bridge, and that we own one half and our child owns the other. And we need to keep that bridge clear and clean so that it's safe for either one of us to cross over at any time. So what sort of metaphorical things can build up on that bridge to stop us from easily crossing over? I'll put the link in the show notes. One thing that causes a child to put up barriers is if they don't feel they're being trusted to make some choices in their own life. That's what the stomping upstairs, the pushing back is all about. Let me do it my way. And that's what builds up rubble on our bridge. Disconnection, the shouting, the stomping, the barriers to us freely crossing over to their side. Let's not blame the hormones for everything. Giving each child freedom to make choices enables them to feel connected to us. Let's look at it the other way around. How much connection do you offer to people who want to boss you around or control you? It's rubble on the proverbial bridge of connection. Now, I'm not suggesting that you want to control your child. I'm simply saying that that's what it can start to feel like. Every parent I spend time with wants connection with their child, good connection. Nobody out there is trying to mess it up or cause unnecessary strife in their relationship with their child. But we do have blind spots, and this is a classic one, causing them to disconnect by leaving them feeling controlled without even realising it. Parents aren't intending to control necessarily, but if we have any doubt at all that they'll do what we're asking of them, we give them less scope to go wrong. We give them more instruction. We escalate our commands. And that escalates when we're actually afraid of the choices they might make as the stakes get bigger. Choices over friendships, choices over homework, choices over social media. We bring the walls in. We limit their freedom. We limit the opportunity for them to go wrong, for their own sake and for ours. When was the last time you got frustrated around your child? Were you a little more forceful than normal? Did you huff or raise your voice? What did you think they would or wouldn't do if you hadn't got loud or stern or forceful or even dominating? Am I the only one who's ever done that? That's fear. You might not relate it as fear. You might not specifically feel frightened, but it's fear of them making a poor choice. It says, I can't trust you to do this without a little bit more pressure from me. And that fear can hurt our connection and cause them to put protective barriers across their bridge. And actually, it also shows them, if they want to be sure about getting something or getting their own way, raise your voice. Apply pressure. Control the outcome. What comes out of our children, we so often think they've picked up in the school playground, but they may well have picked it up from us. Now, I haven't said that to shame anybody. I think we can all relate to moments where we know we didn't manage ourselves as parents the way we'd like to. I know I'll be the first to put my hand up to that. In fact, that's what set us off in search of more connective tools. I didn't like who I became when they pressed my buttons. And I'm grateful that we found another way. So you might be wondering whether anything will get done in your home if you move across to choices. Well, I promise you it will. Your children will get better and quicker at making choices, and you will get better and quicker at defaulting to choices. It will hardwire. It will become part of your DNA. You do have to train yourself, but it will become second nature. So let's look at some examples. Within the structure of choices, there's usually a given boundary. For example, you want your child to eat their food at the table. That's the immovable part. And then there's the choices. Would you like to sit on this chair or your booster seat? Would you like a cushion or no cushion? Would you like to eat with a fork or a spoon? The choices can be endless, but the given is where they eat. Let's look at an example for an older child. Maybe that child that comes out of the school gates. I know there's not much school going on at the moment, but you know the gig. They come out of the school gates and they just dump everything on you, don't they? Their bag, their coat, their gym bag, and so on. So the immovable is, actually, I'm not going to be carrying those. But the choice is, would you like to wear your coat or carry it? It's simply a change of narrative. And there are ways that you can go on to see that through when we come to consequences. I'll talk about that a little bit more at the end. And to an even older child, there's a given, and that's that there are some chores to do. The choice can be what chore. The choice can be when the chore is done. Would you like to do that before or after dinner? They need some boundaries, but they also need some power, some freedom. We all do. So we give them the freedom where we can afford to give them the scope. So that might be when the jobs get done, but not if the jobs get done. Now, going back to our table scenario, when you offer the child to sit here or sit on the booster seat and so on, quite often we offer our children choice A or choice B, and they will opt for choice C or none at all. So firstly, I would say this isn't another way of controlling children. It's about inspiring them to want to make choices and step into that new freedom. Our higher goal is building connection, establishing a culture in your home, changing a narrative, choosing a language that just has a feeling of freedom about it. Sending a message every single time we speak to our children that says, I trust you with this. So that they learn to feel empowered in our presence. So that they learn to feel empowered out there in the world. The bins, hanging the washing, choosing a chair, carrying their own coat and bag will be responsibilities that they will naturally start to rise to. So with the highest goal of establishing connection, allow for the fact that when you start this new way, if it is new for you, your children won't like it. Guaranteed, they'll go for option C. They don't like change. They might not have actually liked all the pushback and you being a cross parent either. But at least they knew the drill. This is new. It feels like driving without lanes, shopping without price tags. It's too loose. They're not in control. They don't like it. So the best way to buck the new system when they're offered choice A or choice B is to choose choice C. Do you want the red cup or the blue cup? I want the yellow cup. We're popping out soon. Would you like to wear your wellies or your shoes? I want to wear my ballet shoes out today. Do you want to put the bin out before or after dinner? Not at all. Or they choose one and they don't do either. Giving them choices isn't the new guarantee that they'll do exactly what we want. It does have a positive impact on them, but when you're bringing it in, you may well find that they try and slip past the system. So there's a phase two. And phase two is you choose A or B, or you default to my choice. So if they choose that option C, which wasn't offered, you can explain, I offered you the red one or the blue one, and you chose the yellow one, so I'm going to choose for you today. Here's the red one. Maybe you can try and choose again tomorrow. And that's where they'll flex some muscle. They may scream, they may shout, and you may wonder why on earth you've embraced this new concept of choices. Hold your nerve. This is your moment to model empowerment. Remember, we're after connection here, not agreement. So you hand them the red cup, or you hand them the wellies, or you choose when the bin goes out. Side note here, when they're small, it's easy to make that choice a definite one, isn't it? But when they're older and the default choice relies on their cooperation, it could be helpful to have a logical consequence ready. And we're getting closer to the Logical Consequences podcast, which I know some of you have already told me you're looking forward to. So we will come to that. But in terms of decisions that we can govern, you hand them the red cup. They give you grief. Gently acknowledge that they're finding this hard. Remember that podcast on empathy? This isn't the time to show our muscle. We've got nothing to prove here. Let them strop. The next time they're offered A or B, they'll be far more likely to choose one of those offers. And the third time, very highly likely. Unless, of course, you caved in and gave them choice C. I really encourage you to hold your nerve. It's very confusing for a child to be told that we're in charge and then defaulting back to them. Think about the long term. We're building mutual respect here. We're modelling a calm, consistent, connected grown-up, and that will empower them to grow into one. Giving them choices develops them. The atmosphere and culture that we raise our children in has a major effect on who they will become in a few short years. Everything that we say and do goes into their bank of experiences. Knowing that our boundaries are consistent, gentle but firm, not forceful or loud, allows us to stay connected even when we're not in agreement. I simply can't put a big enough accent on the impact that choices will have on a developing child. Well, as you know from the beginning of this podcast, that Rose had her reservations about whether or not she was going to reap the rewards on the enormous amount of effort it felt like it was going to take from her. Let's see how she got on in her family.
It's really worked in our household. Arthur is a big thinker, and he quite likes things to be a certain way. So with choices with us, it's made him feel more of the time that he's getting his way, but it's still fitting in with our sort of values and what we need to do within a day in our house. And it seems to have given him another level of confidence and feel that he's really part of the decision making.
Oh, wow. So you think it's empowered him?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
interesting. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, yeah, it took a while to work.
Oh,
because obviously,
tell me about that.
Well, it's the I've tried to involve him in any situation. So in terms of like getting dressed in the morning, would you like to wear these trousers or these trousers? Well, I don't want to wear the yellow trousers or the purple trousers. I want to wear the blue shorts. Well, the blue shorts weren't an option, so I'm going to ask you again, or
Rose.
I'm going to choose. And then it got to a couple of times where I did choose, and he realised that, oh wow, she's going to choose.
Okay,
I'll choose quicker next time, and I'll choose one of the options I'm given. And it seems to have clicked with him.
Brilliant.
Quite quickly.
So just backtracking slightly. So when you have one of those days where he chose option C.
Yeah.
And that was a no from you.
Yeah.
How did he respond to that?
Pretty big meltdown.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of screaming.
Mm.
Even after the part, even when we've moved on to the next stage of our day, still screaming about the other part. And then gradually weaning off that. Still tried it the next day.
Yeah.
Less of a fit about it. Still a bit of a tantrum.
Yeah.
And then by the third day, aha.
I know
I'll
how
choose.
This works.
Yeah.
Yes. Fabulous.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to know, how did you feel as a parent on day one when he totally melted down?
Is this going to work? Is this worth it?
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I'm going to stick with it. I feel like other parents at the session that we did, you know, said it worked, so we'll try it. Day two, I was like, okay, right, I'm prepared. I'm prepared for the tears. I'm prepared to say, darling, I can see you're feeling really angry.
Great.
And I'm sorry, I've equipped him with the vocab. Yeah, that's really made you cross, hasn't it? And I'm really sorry, but we're going to carry on now and we're going to go and do the next thing. And then day three, it worked. And I was like, ah, we did it. We got through it. And it was worth it.
That's
and it, yeah,
brilliant.
And it seems to have, really worked with him. So, yeah.
And did that make you feel more empowered as a parent?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it feels less. Well, it's some things that he didn't used to love getting dressed in the morning. He wanted to stay in his pyjamas. So we kind of changed the morning routine around so we got dressed before we came downstairs. Because then it seems to lessen the battle. But now because he gets to choose, he's actually really excited to get dressed. Oh, I'm going to go and choose what I wear, or I'm going to choose this. And so quite often now I'll leave his clothes out in the morning with two options for tops, two options for trousers and two options for socks. We don't have to have the conversation anymore, but he knows that he can go up there and choose one of the options that's there. And it's helped. Definitely worked.
So you went backwards in order to go forwards.
Yes.
But you've actually ended up with a child that feels more empowered.
Yeah.
More excited about his choices.
Yeah.
In fact, it would seem he feels he's got more choices.
Yeah.
Rather than less choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. But did it feel alien to you when you heard it? Or when you heard it the first time, did you think, that kind of makes sense?
I did. I honestly did think it made sense. I can see how that would work. And it definitely does. So
it sounds like you've hardwired it. It's part of you now.
Yeah.
It's just part of your makeup.
Yeah.
Do you think any of your friends have locked on? You know, have they?
I definitely think they have. I've heard them using it with Arthur. So well, they've heard me talk to him that way, and I think they've realised that that's how he kind of responds to other people. So Arthur, do you want to come outside now, or would you like to put your shoes on first? Or do whatever, different scenarios of that. And I have heard a few of them using it with their children at dinner time the other night at a friend's house when they were all sitting. So giving them the choice of that before they sat down. Did you want to go and get the cutlery out of the drawer yourself, or did you want me to put it on the table for you? And I thought, I don't know if that's me rubbing off, having heard it, or what it is, but it seemed to work for them as well.
Sounds like influence to me.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see that Rose's friends were beginning to use choices too with their children, having seen the fruit of it with her and her child. So I was interested to ask her whether her husband had seen the merit in it as well.
Yes, definitely. So there was, they went out to the tip the other week. I was cooking a roast. We had people coming over. And so I'd asked Ian to do something with him. And he was like, okay, I'll take him to the tip. And Arthur really wanted to go and get the car washed while they were out as well. And Ian said, that's absolutely fine. And then Arthur didn't want to go in the car because Ian had mentioned going to the tip. And Ian said, okay, right, let's stop for a minute. Let's choose then. Are we going to go and get the car washed first? Or are we going to go to the tip first? You choose and that's what we'll do.
Oh,
and it was immediate and it was clicked like that. And that was the first time I'd seen it in action. And then round the house, it's, okay, we're going to have tea now. Do you want the orange plate or the yellow plate? Do you want this? And it's become really natural. I've just noticed it in him recently that it's obviously brilliant. Definitely become part of his dialogue too. Yeah. And it's definitely causing way less friction all around.
That's good. You're noticing that, are you?
Yeah, definitely.
Less head-to-head.
Yeah. And I think also because I'm at home with the children all day and Ian's at work, I think, you know, they don't have as much time with them. And so I feel like there's always a bit more friction between them sometimes because they just go, well, why isn't he choosing? And you're like, well, because they don't choose straight away and everything else. And then, but now I think he's seeing how it does work and actually it's giving the time they've got together way more quality time, which is really nice.
Yeah. I mean, so he can really see the merit in it.
Yeah,
so you're modelling it and he's seeing it work.
No, I think when I first came home and discussed it with Ian after the sessions, he was like, yeah, but I don't feel like we need to parent in the exact same way. I feel like we can parent in two different ways and it can still click with the kids. And I was like, no, absolutely. I don't want to be a clone of each other. Mm. However, I just think these steps would really help in our household. And he was like, yeah, okay. I can see where you're coming from with it, but I can see that he was kind of reluctant. And that's why I think it's only recently that I've really noticed how much he is now doing it. And I think it's taken him that time to sort of sit back and watch and think, oh, it is working. Okay, I see where she's coming from. And so we do still have our unique parenting styles and the way we talk to them and the things that we do with them are still different. But there's still, I think the children know that in the house, they're going to get treated fairly. And I think that fairness is something that Arthur definitely strives toward, things feeling fair. So he knows that he's got choices with daddy, he's got choices with mummy.
Yeah.
And if he's feeling angry, sad, happy, that all of those emotions are going to be validated by both of us. And I think that gives them such a like comforting feeling at home to know that sort of no matter what, they're gonna feel
that's
that,
your baseline culture then, isn't it?
Definitely.
That we have freedom and we respect each other's choices.
Yeah.
Have you found yourself using it in a conflict situation where he's already upset or mucking about at the table or being rude or something like that? Have you used it in that scenario?
We've used it at the park a couple of times when it's been time to go home. So I've realised that it's time to go home.
And I've
said, do you know what, we need to go in a minute, Arthur. No, I don't want to go home, I don't want to go home, I don't want to go home. So I've gone, okay. So we've got two choices. We could go on the slide three more times before we go home, or we can go on the swing two times and something else one more time before we go back. So I'm still getting my way in the terms of that we're going home in the next 5 minutes, but he feels that he's chosen the things that we're going to go on before we go home. And then he knows by the time he gets to the swing or by the time he gets to the third time down the slide, that that means by the end of that, he's chosen that that's the time that we're going. And that seems to have, toned it down straight away and
makes
made
them
it work.
Feel a bit more in control of their own lives.
It does, yeah. You're not enforcing the rules on them. They're part of the decision in their days, which actually, is empowering for
them. You get buy-in then, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
And then in terms of what choices to come up with, did you get stuck at any points?
Yeah. Okay. I remember saying, like, we've got two choices, and then thinking, what are these choices going to be?
I love that.
Yeah, so there's been a couple of times where you've had to really think on your feet, and they haven't necessarily been the best choices, but you feel like you've come up with something. But then it does just start to become a natural thing to say, and you prepare yourself before even saying, I've got choices. You give yourself a minute. So normally, I either repeat back what he said to me, oh, you don't want to go home now? Okay.
Yeah.
And then, let me think. And then you can come out with something. So I've given myself a chance to pause.
So I was chatting with a couple and they were saying that, oh, this choices thing, it just sounds exhausting if I've got to give them choices over absolutely everything. What would you say to a parent now that you're the other side of that?
It does take time and it does feel exhausting in the first point because your brain isn't wired to do it.
Yes.
So having to think on your feet to think of those things does feel tiring, but it works, and I feel like I've got a happier 4-year-old because of it. And yes. I choose what I give him choices in. Sometimes there isn't a choice because we actually do need to be out the door.
Absolutely.
At this time.
Yes.
So I'm not even going to offer you a choice in that. Sometimes it's, we're leaving at 9 o'clock, but no, actually, darling, today we have to leave at 9 o'clock because this is what's happening.
Can you put a choice before that though?
You can. I feel like he's had choices that morning, so yes. He's already picked okay. his clothes, he's already picked
yep.
which cereal he's having for breakfast, and he's yes. picked which bowl he's having yep. it in. So he feels empowered, he's had those choices, but I've already said when we've got up that today we are leaving at 9 o'clock, so he knows that's happening.
And that's the anchor, isn't it? And everything else is a choice.
Is a choice,
it.
Around it.
I love chatting with Rose. She's always prepared to try a good idea, and she's had great success with that. So just to round up, if we can change a few of the requests that we make in the day into choices, and if we can slowly default towards giving choices in every possible scenario, our children will feel the atmosphere of freedom opening up around them, even though the boundaries aren't changing. And when they do push back and decide that actually they'd still like their own option, holding our nerve and defaulting to one of our choices helps them to know that the boundaries are firm. You know, our children push the boundaries quite often just to see that they're firmly in place. And when they are, it makes them feel safe. And if they resist and they don't like the new concept of choices, stay gentle. They will. And in time, you'll be so glad you moved across. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed it, share it with a friend. I love to hear your feedback. I'm easy to find on Instagram as The Courageous Mama, or by email at madelinestanny@icloud.com. See you next week.